Welcome to Woolful, a podcast for fiber folk. I'm excited to share with you some incredible people I've had the opportunity to talk to in this community we love so much. From shearers and shepherds to knitters and shop owners, here's where you get to listen to a little part of their fiber journey. I want to thank our sponsors for this week's episode. Fancy Tiger Crafts is a special yarn, fabric, and notion shop based out of Denver, Colorado. This inspired place is owned and operated by self-proclaimed fiber nerds Jamie Jennings and Amber Corcoran, two women whose hope and journey have allowed them to share their knowledge, adventures, and passion in fiber, and this is reflected in their beautiful shop, as well as in their endeavors of creating their own farm yarn heirloom. Fancy Tiger Crafts is one of my favorite places to shop online for fabric, patterns, and yarn, and I recently attended one of their craft nights, and it's even better in person. I've just begun cutting the Fen pattern, and I'm excited about their fancy knit-along that just started, and you can find more info on their blog. And make sure to mark your calendars for January 21st, where Fancy Tiger is hosting Superstar Knit Night with guests Laura Nelkin, Romy Hill, Miriam Felton, Jill Draper, Ann Will, and Laura Lee Beltman. Grab your project and come hang out and knit with all these amazing fiber folk. Make sure to visit Fancy Tiger Crafts in person and online at fancytigercrafts.com and on Instagram at fancytigercrafts. Feel Good Yarn Company is the creator of Silver Spun Yarn. This incredible cotton and silver blend is produced using only American source fiber and is spun by the folks at North Carolina State University. Aside from its beautiful texture and stitch definition, Silver Spun Yarn has some pretty amazing therapeutic and thermal properties because of its unique silver content, which you can hear a lot more about in episode 33. They've introduced two new products, a colored version of their flagship product, the Sport Weight Silver Spun Yarn, and a new fingering weight version of the Silver Spun, perfect for socks, shawls, and other knits. I recently knit Gudrun Johnson's Hermanus hat in the Silver Spun, and I'm in love with the soft and sturdy fabric. Make sure to visit feelgoodyarnco.com for more information and to buy this very special yarn. You can also find them on Instagram at feelgoodyarnco. You know I love yarn with a story. There are so many facets of these stories, where it came from, who raised the fiber animals, who spun the yarn, dyed it, designs with it, and so on. But what makes a yarn story even more exciting and the knit more satisfying is the impact these yarns have. Angie Lenore and Stephanie Stotts are two friends who created a fiber company, which grew into focusing on creating yarns with a story and a mission. You can find Angie and Stephanie at KismetFiberworks.com and on Instagram at KismetFiberworks. And with that, here's Angie and Stephanie.
This is Angie Lenore, and I am one half of the team of Kismet Fiberworks, and with me is Stephanie Stotzberg. And I would have to say that my fiber journey really started off at a young age in that I was raised around my grandparents' family farm, so there were always animals around, and it was always a great joy for me to be able to go visit them. And play with the cows and the chickens and Jack the donkey. So I was really comfortable with animals from an early age. And then fast forward to after I got married and was pregnant with my first child, Xander, I was very sick during the first trimester of my pregnancy. And I was just sitting around not doing much of anything. And my grandmother gave me a Susan Bates Teach Yourself to Knit kit because she thought it would help take the edge off of my boredom and morning sickness. So I was able to teach myself to knit and make the longest, brightest green garter stitch scarf you've ever seen. So that was really where my knitting, where fiber first got into my hands, was when I was early 20-something, pregnant with my first. And really, he's kind of the reason I kind of got into fiber anyway, because when he turned 8, he said, "Mama, I really want a sheep for my birthday, because then once we have a sheep, we'll never have to go to the store and buy sweaters again." So I thought, well, oh, perfect. That makes perfect logical sense. And I'm a sucker for that sort of thing. And we had some animals on our property at the time. So I said, sure, we'll get you a baby bottle sheep. So we did. We got Peeps, the Jacob lamb, and she lived in our kitchen for a while. And it just snowballed from there. And from one sheep, well, they're like potato chips. You can't have just one. So we had to get several more to be her pasture mates. And I learned how to shear and how to wash the fleece and how to dye it and how to spin it. And then, well, I already knew how to knit. So that's kind of how it all started for me, was with my son's excitement for not having to go to the store and buy sweaters again. And from there, it grew into having a part-time job at a yarn shop and still doing fiber stuff on my own as a hobby. And that is where I met Stephanie, my business partner with Kismet Fiberworks.
Well, I'm Stephanie Stotzberg, and my journey with fiber began at a really young age with my mother and grandmother. My mother had a master's degree in costume design, and she studied all different kinds of fabrics and textiles. And from a young age, I remember her showing me beautiful silks from Thailand and explaining to me about all the work that the silkworms put into those beautiful pieces of fabric. And she also was a great sewist and quilter, and I grew up with my very first sewing machine was a little cabbage patch one that my grandmother and mom bought for me. And I remember sewing Raggedy Ann doll clothes and cabbage patch doll clothes on that machine. And so that's where, that was my first fiber step. And then as I got older, I continued with sewing and I quilted and played around with dyeing fabrics and textiles. And then there was a point in time where I lived in Denver, Colorado, and I was in between apartments, and so my sewing machine was in storage, and I happened to walk past, I would live very close to Fancy Tiger Crafts, and I walked into Fancy Tiger Crafts with my boyfriend at the time, and he said to me, you know, it would be really cool if I could knit a hat for myself to ski in. And I said, well, yeah, that is kind of a cool idea. So there next to the fabrics were all these beautiful hand-dyed yarns, and I picked them up and immediately fell in love. And that day I bought a couple skeins of yarn and needles and quickly went home to YouTube and taught myself to knit, and just really grew as a knitter being around that store and learning so much from the ladies there. And then I ended up marrying my boyfriend at the time. And he brought me to Virginia, which I continued just knitting and knitting. And there's a really wonderful knitting community here that I got involved with. And we met working at, well, it's now called the Wool Workshop. And I met the ladies all there and got really sucked into and involved in the fiber community and soon met Angie. And that's kind of where our paths crossed and our journey started together.
That's so cool that your journey included Fancy Tiger. They're just awesome people all around, for sure.
Definitely. And it was neat because I don't think they ever knew that I came and started Kismet. I didn't know Amber and Jamie very well personally. When I lived there, I was probably shy and wasn't too chatty. But it was neat because at TNNA this year, I got to actually visit with them and tell them about the role that they had in teaching me to knit and being on the fiber journey because of them.
So I would love it if one of you guys would share a bit about Kismet and kind of how that came to be.
Okay, well, this is Angie, and I met Stephanie when she first came in to the yarn shop where I was working because she had a project and she needed someone to frog it. And I'm ruthless about that sort of thing, so I was happy to frog it for her, and it was love at first sight with Stephanie. And I just made an immediate connection with her. And as we got to know each other through being at the yarn shop, we talked about our different interests, and we both kind of had agricultural interests, mine being that I had fritters and Stephanie being that she was the farm-to-table chef. And we were just interested in food and slow food and also kind of the slow fiber movement that was feeling like it was starting. And Stephanie's family has alpacas, and I had the sheep at the time. So we just decided that it would be a great idea to get our fibers together. Stephanie started working at the yarn shop soon after, so we would just talk in the store about how it would be such a great idea to get her family's alpaca and my wool together, and maybe we could dye them and carve them into some bats for the upcoming Tour de Fleece. So we tried it, and we had so much fun together, and it was so well received by the community at the yarn shop. It just, all of those sweet little bats that we made sold out, and everyone in the community was so encouraging to us that we thought, well, shoot, let's just try this. Let's just try to do it. So we made a business plan, and scheduled our first trunk show at that yarn shop, and had that trunk show, and it was so successful, and mainly because of our supportive community there, that we decided that we just wanted to do it. We were having so much fun and enjoyed it so much that let's do this as a business, and let's call it Kismet Fiberworks, because, well, Kismet means fate or things coming together as they should. And that's really how we feel like we came together, how the fiber community comes together, and how literally yarn comes together as it should to create a beautiful piece of fabric.
That's wonderful. Why don't you share a little bit more about the journey that Kismet has gone on?
When we first started our business, we really wanted to do yarns that were a little bit more high-end and were unusual in fiber content. And so we started with some pretty special yarns, things like baby camel and silk. And we really fell in love with that kind of exotic blend. But we still also had staple yarns that we thought were important to be able to tell our full color story. So we also incorporated some more traditional yarns into our line to allow the customers access to things that they're more familiar with. And then as we added in the Refuge, which is our baby camel and silk yarn, we were surprised as we watched our customers grow and love it, and kind of that need in the industry for more unique fibers. And so we started looking for fibers with a story, is really what we wanted. We wanted to be able to tell the story of farmers, the story of the fields and flocks that the fiber came from. And so we started looking for those sorts of things. And so we've had the opportunity to meet a lot of different people as we've done shows and traveled around the country. And one of the great people that we had the chance to meet was Lori Gagne from the Feel Good Yarn Company. And we, of course, talked a lot. She has an interesting product herself. So we talked lots about product development and finding yarns. And we just were looking and looking, and we really wanted something different. And she had an idea for us, and she brought up this Kashgora yarn that someone had contacted her about, which is our Paniri yarn, which is hand-spun in Tajikistan. And it's actually spun from a single animal, which is a Kashgora goat, which is a cross between a cashmere and an Angora goat. And she told us about this yarn and these amazing women in Tajikistan that were hand spinning it. And we were so interested in it. And she put us in touch with the project coordinator. And we immediately got samples of it and fell in love with the incredible story and process of this yarn. And so as we've grown as a business, we've had the opportunity to add the Paniri line, which really helps women in third world countries, but also to bring things like our Rooted line of yarn, which is from our local family farm, to bring that to our customers as well. So we're going to continue as we grow as a business to add those farm-based stories.
That's so great. I would love to hear a little bit more about the Paniri line.
Absolutely. Well, this is Angie, and the Paniri yarn really is such a special yarn because it has such a great story behind it. So as Stephanie was saying, we were put in touch with the contact person for this yarn, and her name is Liba, and she works for the International Fund for Agricultural Development. And she originally went to Tajikistan because she knew that there were goats there in the Himalayan mountains. And she thought that she would go there and help them turn these goats into a meat industry. She thought that that's what she was going over there to do. And when she actually got on the ground and saw the goats and saw some of the things that the women who own these goats were doing, she realized that this was an amazing fiber. And so the opportunity was there not to turn this into a meat goat project, but to turn this into a fiber project. So Liba started from there getting these spinning workshops started, where the women are learning to spin on these electric spinners that they have specially made for them. And there are two workshops now that she has set up in Tajikistan. And Tajikistan is a country that's one of those Istan countries. It's bordered by Afghanistan, China, and Pakistan. And so it's a landlocked country in the Himalayan mountains. So it's a very rough terrain, and it's a pretty poor country. These women who own these goats and are the shepherdesses of them kind of run the communities because their husbands are mostly migrant workers in Russia. So the women are really the ones who run the communities. And for them, setting up these spinning workshops and being able to turn their goat's fiber into an economic source for them has just been life-changing and amazing. So we're really just so thrilled and so honored to be able to work with them as part of this process. And what they're doing now is the International Fund for Agricultural Development is slowly backing out so that the women can run the business themselves. So this year, these women have not only set up their spinning workshops, for many of them learned to spin for the first time, but they're also learning how to create their own business and run it themselves. So they've written a constitution for their business. They've hired a translator that we work with so that we can communicate with them and get the exact yarn that we want. They're also figuring out all the bookkeeping and accounting for this. So we actually have started transferring or wiring monies right into their banking account. So these women are going from being completely dependent on their migrant worker husbands to being able to actually support themselves and their families by spinning this yarn. So it's a great thing for us as women who have started our own business to feel like that we are helping other women start their own business. And well, the yarn is just amazing. Not only is it great and a great feel good kind of yarn, but the yarn itself is an amazing, amazing yarn. It's a Kashgore yarn, like Stephanie said, and it definitely has the softness of cashmere, but it has that beautiful luster and durability that no hair has. So it's a really unique yarn, and it's a really beautiful yarn. And once you knit it, while you just feel how alive it is, and you can feel the story in it, and you can kind of smell the goats a little bit in it, and it's so warm and just takes the dye so beautifully. So that's why we feel so pleased to be able to get it here in the U.S., because the women in Tajikistan are so busy spinning the yarn, and they're not really interested in dyeing it. So we get to bring it here and sell it in its natural state, but then also we get to dye it and add our own color story to it as well.
That's such an awesome story. So tell me a little bit more about the Rooted collection.
Okay, this is Stephanie. So the Rooted collection was born from when I married this boy that I met in Denver. I came back to Virginia with him, and when I showed up at his parents' farm, he had mentioned briefly that his parents had alpacas. So I just thought, well, I just have two or three alpacas. And the day I first went to go visit his family, we pull into his parents' farm, and there's 80 alpacas there. And I was just blown away, and I just couldn't believe it. And of course, I was a knitter at the time, and I said, well, what in the world do you guys do with all this fiber? And at the time, my father-in-law told me that they weren't fiber people, and they just really didn't know what to do with it. So they were selling it to a co-op, and he said, and we just never see it again. And I said, you don't even have anything knit out of your own alpacas? And he said, no. And I said, well, we're going to have to change that. And so from that moment forward, Angie and I knew that we really wanted to do something to develop the yarn, but we wanted to develop a yarn using that fiber, but we wanted it to be a completely local story. And so as we traveled around, we talked and looked at different mills and saw the different ways people spun the yarns, and even visited a few different places. But we really, as we traveled, we took the time one time to go visit Echo View Fiber Mill, which is in North Carolina. And as soon as we walked in, we just had a great connection with the place and the stories that come from there, and we knew that that was where we wanted to have our fiber processed, and wanted Echo View to be part of the story of our fiber. So Echo View is quite close to us, and so we worked with a fabulous team there and developed a line using all the many different beautiful natural colors of alpaca. And for some of it, we chose to blend it with some flubby silk, so it has a beautiful tweedy look to it. And some of it we left a nice fluffy bulky, so it's perfect slipper yarn. So as we had this yarn processed, we decided that we wanted a beautiful collection to tell the story of it as well. And so we rallied some of our really talented designer friends that we've gotten to know over the years, and we put together a lovely collection of simple pieces that really tell the story and highlight the natural colors of the yarn.
I love it that you just showed up and there was like 80 alpacas.
Surprise! Well, it was really funny. They thought we were a little crazy when we said, so we have, how much alpaca do you have? And we're like, well, we just have 100 pounds, you know, around in the car. So they thought it was funny that we just rolled up with all the fibers right with us. But we did.
And the great thing about the great thing about EcoView, the fiber mill, is that it's a LEED certified mill, and they do a lot with the solar power and the wastewater. They treat it. It's just a really green facility, and their workers get a fair wage. We met the woman who spun our yarn. She was delightful. So it's a really, their business practices are right in line with ours.
That's so great. I want to take kind of a step back and ask Stephanie about something that came up when Angie was talking, that you used to be or are still currently a chef.
Yes, I did go to culinary school, and I did study to be a farm-to-table chef, but I do not work as a chef any longer. But yes, that's actually what I was doing in Denver when I was learning to knit and all of that. Was I was a farm-to-table chef, so I had a real love for bringing agriculture into our daily lives. And so I still feel like I carry that same love and drive to this business as well. So I love bringing from the field to your hand, like to your knitting. It's mm-hmm. a different way of bringing the field to our home.
That's a great way to put it. That kind of leads me to my next question, which was, is this something that you guys are doing full time?
Well, it's actually full time for us now. We started dyeing at my house on a little porch, and it really quickly grew from there. We outgrew my space, and there was yarn everywhere in my house, drying on every surface. And so we found a wonderful studio space in a small town near where both of us live. And so we have a studio, and this is our full-time job for both of us. And we have some part-time helpers as well. So yes, we've been able to grow it in a relatively short time into something that is contributing to our family's income. And it's really great that Stephanie was a chef and a nurse, and I was a farmer. So we both knew how to work really hard and how to follow our dreams. And so I think that's been a big part of our business, is that we both come from backgrounds that are really well suited to turning yarn into something beautiful that people want to knit.
And yes, I think you're going to see a lot more growth from Kismet. We definitely are going to keep seeking out those stories and finding the right yarns to complement our line. And you'll just see us grow and grow with our plan.
When you look back at the journey that Kismet's taken and the different relationships that you've built, what are some of the most valuable relationships that you've built through this process, not only with each other, but with either other fiber folk or even just within your own families?
Well, this is Stephanie. I'll start. And first and foremost, I have to say that the most important relationship I've built over the course of this is with Angie. And couldn't do this every day without her. She teaches me to work harder, to be more creative, to dig a little deeper, and teaches me to be softer and kinder. So she brings so many skills and talents to the table. It's just unbelievable. So I think learning to work this closely with somebody one-on-one. I've had lots of coworkers in my life, but never one I've worked this close with. And it's been fantastic to work with her and to grow. Like, she's not only my business partner, but we joke around that we're platonic life partners too, because she's never getting rid of me. Like, we are life partners together as well. And then I think after Angie, I would have to say that I have a pretty amazing supportive husband. I would say both, even Angie's husband, because yeah. Both our husbands, because they support us every weekend that we're away to go do a show, even though we've worked 5 days that week in the studio. They never complain, never fuss, just do nothing but encourage and rub our shoulders, which is great. But then also, I think the other people we couldn't do it without, for me personally, is our local fiber community here. There's been an amazing group of women that have been so supportive throughout this incredible time, and it's the team. from Wool Workshop and the New River Fiber Company and all the ladies that I've knit with for the last 4 years here. Every, whether it was Tuesday night or Wednesday night, it's just been that group that every week, even when I'm tired from dyeing all day, I just go and I see all the beautiful whips that they're working on and feel more motivated to go back and dye and knit. And so I think for me, those have been the most important relationships that I've made along the way.
Yes. And of course, I will second all of those things that Stephanie said about, well, her as being an amazing business partner, our families being so supportive of us, our local community. But then as we've grown, our wider community of Kismet Fiberworks supporters, they just really blow me away sometimes. We went to a trunk show at a yarn shop all the way across the other side of the state of Virginia. And we met a wonderful woman, and she's a great supporter of Kismet. And she knits all these amazing things out of Kismet, so many that she couldn't possibly wear them all. So she just lets us borrow her finished objects to have, to show people what the yarn knits up like. And from her to our yarn shop owners, who are so great to work with as we try to get Kismet into more yarn shops across the country. They're so supportive of us and so encouraging. And we just really feel like we've been welcomed into the fiber industry with open arms. We've just met some amazing supportive people, even other small yarn company owners like Lori Gagne, who we just interviewed. We're kind of competitors, and yet we are such great friends and love to brainstorm about the industry and about yarn and about the fiber arts in general. We've just really, the whole fiber community is just an astounding group of men and women that we are so thrilled to be a part of.
That's really great. I'd like to hear a little bit more about your process within your own business.
Well, that's a really great thought-provoking question. So one of the reasons, this is Angie, sorry. So one of the reasons that Stephanie and I work so well together is that I feel like we have very complementary talents and complementary things that we bring to the Kismet Fiberwork table. And so where Stephanie is really talented with the creative and bookkeeping side, I can get my boots to the ground and dye yarn. Of course, Stephanie's dyeing yarn too. We're all dyeing yarn all the time. But Stephanie does have more of a business background, and I have more of a dyeing background, I guess I would say. So we work well in that sense. But then our process really has shifted and changed over the years as we've become less indie dyers and more a yarn company. So we've kind of evolved from really just dyeing our own yarn and selling it to bringing yarns from other places and distributing it to a wider audience. So we've actually had to do a lot more planning and be a lot more thoughtful about looking ahead to our spring 2016 colors and pattern collections. So as we've grown as a business, we've had to broaden kind of our scope and our goals and really just taking our heads out of the dye pods for a minute and looking ahead, because really the day to day is dyeing the yarn and getting it out the door. But we do have to remember to look up and plan ahead and think about what's going to be happening even a year from now. What designers do we need to contact now if we want them to get a sweater out for us next year? So that's been a kind of a big change that we've noticed as we've grown as a business, kind of growing pains as we get bigger.
That's a great segue into my next question, which is what have been some of the challenges as you've, you know, started and then built your business, and how have you worked through those challenges?
Stephanie, and I think for me personally, probably a really honest answer to that question has sometimes just been, I'm sure exhaustion has been probably a really big challenge at certain times. It's just being tired from working really hard. And so I think that we've learned the hard way to be really protective of our creative space and to realize that when we're completely exhausted, that there's not a lot of creativity there or joy. And so learning to take the time for good self-care, spend time with our family, and it's been hugely important to learn that balance. And there's probably been some hard lessons and some tears over it. So it's been good to learn the importance for me of self-care and managing my own exhaustion. I think that has honestly been the biggest challenge. I mean, of course, there's been lots of things like, you know, bookkeeping and stuff, but I always feel like, well, there's always a tutorial to learn that. But I think the hardest thing has been to manage my own self-care.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Those dye pots are really heavy and it gets really hot sometimes. And I don't want to sound like we're complaining at all, because it's such a joy and a grateful thing that, well, I feel so grateful that we get to do this every day. We get to dye yarn beautiful colors every day. And so that's a really wonderful thing, but it's also a lot of manual labor that we do. So I think Stephanie's absolutely right on that. We sometimes get stuck in the grind and maybe don't take enough time to take care of ourselves. And we know that for the sustainability and the longevity of our business, those are really important things for us.
Mm-hmm. You know, you talked a little bit about the support from your family and your husband's being supportive. What have your families as a whole, how has their reaction been to everything, in particular, your in-laws, Stephanie?
I think at first my husband wasn't really sure what I was doing and why aren't you cooking anymore? why are you moving on to the next thing? But he was very kind about it and always supportive. And so as he watched things change, I think he just has been more amazed and more proud and super supportive. But I think the biggest change came was when the Rooted collection was released. And I remember the first time his parents came over for dinner after we'd gotten back all the samples from all the designers that they had knitted of this beautiful collection. And just his parents were just couldn't even believe that that was their alpaca and that it had gone from just these animals in their field to something that was a product, and they were just amazed by it all. And they felt really grateful for the love of the fiber community and that people were embracing these slow crafts and taking the time to do things like this. I think it was really meaningful to them and to my husband. And it was neat to, as a newlywed, it was neat to kind of bring families together is how it felt.
I would say that that has to be one of the hardest things, going back to challenges, that for me personally, I have two sons, 14, 11, and that's maybe personally one of the things I've struggled with the most is the time away from my family. Because not only do we work 40 plus hours a week, we're also often away on the weekends going to different shows. And so being away from my kids that long at first was very hard for me, and I had a lot of mommy guilt around it. And fortunately, I have moved right on through that mommy guilt because I see that they see me following my passion and they see me working really hard to make my goals and dreams come true. And that's really a healthy thing for them to see. My son, my youngest, who's 11, has decided recently that he's going to be a welder. And he was asking me about what kind of school it was going to take for him to do that. And I said, well, you could go to college and get a business degree so that you could start your own business. And then he said, well, Mama, I could just do it like you and just start my own business. And that just, of course, brought me to tears as a mom. Like, my kid is seeing me doing this and he's feeling inspired that he can do it too. That's been one of the hardest and most gratifying parts for my family with me starting this.
And your son that, you know, told you to that he wanted a sheep to so you guys didn't have to buy sweaters anymore. What has his reaction been to all this?
Well, he's 14. So, you know, he's pretty cool. but yeah, he's very proud also, and he thinks that it's so great. And he loves to hear me tell that story because of course he's moved on and is into many, many other things besides the sheep, but he also is just really proud of what we've done and loves thinking that he's really the one that started it all.
I know, Stephanie, you kind of mentioned this, that you have a bright future ahead of you guys for Kismet and you plan on exploring new yarns more and more. What are some of the exciting things that you guys can share about that you're either working on or that you hope to do in your business in the future?
Sorry, I'm just trying to think what we can talk about.
Some things we have to keep a little closer to our chest. This is Angie. I'll say that Reba, our Tajikistan connection, if you will, is in Tajikistan right now, and she's going to be there for a couple months visiting with our spinners there. And she was telling me about how they're really trying to always improve the yarn. And so what they're doing right now is having a competition amongst themselves, and they've all spun a skein of yarn and then knit the yarn into a hat and are wearing the hat around to see which one wears the best and looks the best. And then whoever wins the competition is going to kind of be the mentor or tutor of the workshop so that they can teach the other women how to spin yarn that's maybe a little more durable. So that's great to hear that our spinners are always improving their yarn. And we're excited to get our next shipment of Kamiri yarn. Right now we have a lot of worsted weight, and they're working on sport weight for us. And so we'll be getting that in early 2016. To be able to start dyeing and distributing.
And this is Stephanie, but I think we can talk about this, Angie. It'll be fine. Next year we're planning, one thing we're really excited about that we've been working pretty hard on is we're planning to do a head-to-toe club, which means that every month we'll be sending out a different shipment of Kismet yarn, so people will have an opportunity to sample all of our different bases, and each month it will be supported with a pattern. So that way the person can have an item to knit, whether it's a hat from Kashgora and a cowl from Sleek and a shawl from Rooted, so they can get to experience many different yarns in our line. And then at the end of the year, they will have a piece literally that they can wear head to toe. They can be covered in Kismet. So that's one of the really exciting things we're working on. We have some really great designers we're really excited to share. We can't talk about names just yet because we haven't released all the information, but we're very excited about that head to toe club. That's another thing that's coming up that'll give people an opportunity to sample all our different kinds of bases and also give us an opportunity to sneak in some more small farm yarns.
On January 15th through the 17th, Kismet Fiberworks will be at Vogue Knitting in New York City at the Yarn Culture booth, number 713. And a special surprise, several of the Tajik women who spin the Pamiri yarn will be flying from their home in Tajikistan to New York City to attend Vogue Knitting Live and meet those who attend the event. I would encourage anyone who is near New York or plans to visit to stop by on Sunday from 10 to 2 and welcome them and to show your love and support for what they are doing. And if you've seen the latest issue of Taproot, Shelter, then you know of the most recent pattern from Carrie Bostakogue, the Portland Pullover, designed in Brooklyn Tweed's Shelter yarn. I'm in love with the elegant yoke of this design and its neckline, so much so that I'm hosting the new Woolful Knit Along, featuring the Portland Pullover. I just received my yarn in the mail and began swatching. And I hope you'll join me in this new year, rewarding yourself with some selfish knitting after the holidays. I've shared more details on the blog, so check out woolful.com. And if you don't already subscribe to Taproot, visit taprootmag.com to subscribe or grab the latest issue, Shelter, which is where you can find this pattern. For this week's Man on the Street, I asked the question, what fiber skills or techniques do you hope to tackle this year? Here's what a few of our Man on the Street team members had to say.
Hi, this is Barbara in Calabasas. You can find me on Instagram as Sticks and String. So to start off the new year, I purchased a new pattern that is at the top of my queue. It's called The Drecken Shawl by Maria Muscarella. And you may know Maria as Ninja Chickens on Instagram and via her blog. It is an absolutely beautiful shawl pattern that incorporates both lace stitches and brioche stitching. And although I am quite accustomed to knitting lace patterns, I've never worked with brioche stitches and seem to be seeing that type of knitting coming up and more in really lovely designs that are being offered. So that is one of the techniques that I'm looking towards mastering in this new year. The other thing that scares the heebie-jeebies out of me, but I'm told is really simple once you get the hang of it, is speaking. And I would really love to learn how to do that and try it with different shawls and things that it would make the process a lot easier in completing some more intricate patterns and taking a little bit less time in making them by using the speaking technique. So that's the second one on my priority list. Brioche definitely the first, and so we'll see how it goes. But there's just so many gorgeous patterns, not only in my queue, but out there for all of us to select, and lots of new techniques for each of us to learn. So I wish everybody a really great new year of creating and trying something new and expanding your skills with this fantastic craft. Happy New Year, Ashley and Wolfo and everybody out there, and have a wonderful 2016.
Hey, everyone, and Happy New Year. This is Maria. I'm from Asheville, North Carolina, and you can find me on Instagram at ninja.chickens or at fernfiber. My goals for this year, well, the first one's pretty simple. This is my 20th year of knitting, and in all that time, I've never knit socks. Little slippers, house shoe type of stuff I've done, but not a good everyday sock. So I casted that on New Year's Eve so I could knit my first pair of socks this year. My other knitting goal for this year is to learn double knitting. I think there are some really beautiful patterns out there. Sockmatician or Nathan Taylor on Ravelry has some gorgeous designs, so I'm hoping I'll be able to tackle some double knitting this year.
Hi, this is Beatrice from Portland, Maine. You can find me on Instagram at Thread and Ladle. This year, I really hope to find some balance in my work knitting and pleasure knitting. Since I design, it's really hard to find time to knit to relax. And I'd like to find some time to just do some personal relaxing knitting and remember why I love knitting in the first place. I also hope to dive into some brioche knitting. I have yet to tackle any brioche knitting, and I'd like to give that a try this year. There's some great patterns out there, and I'm looking forward to it. Happy 2016.
Hi, this is Amy from Atlanta. You can find me on Instagram at urban_farm_wife. Most of my knitting-related goals for this year involve finishing whips, knitting down the stash, and getting new patterns written, tested, and released. But I do have one fiber skill I've been wanting to tackle for a long time. I've been wanting to learn the beautiful sewing techniques of Alabama Channon clothing and accessories. Since the moment I first saw her innovative designs, her applique and beading techniques, and the styles that flatter all shapes and sizes, I knew I wanted to learn the craft. The hand stitching is appealing for the same reasons hand knitting satisfies. I have one of her books and feel fairly confident I can learn the techniques. As with most of my other fiber hobbies, the only hard part is finding the time.
Hi, this is Christy in Philadelphia. You can find me at sweetkm.com or on Instagram at Christy_sweetkm. My list of skills to conquer this year is pretty long, but I'd like to start with brioche knitting. I've seen so many projects popping up on Instagram, but except for one abandoned hat project from last winter, I have no experience with it. I got a two-tone brioche kit for Christmas with the Churro scarf pattern by Lisa Myers and two skeins of Manil Uruguay yarn. This week, I'm going to make the time to learn something new.
Hi, this is Sonia. You can find me on Instagram at a tree by the river. Really looking forward to 2016 and all that it holds for us, hoping for lots of new opportunities to grow in my skills, especially when fiber is considered. For me this year, I really want to learn about properly preparing my fleeces for processing them into skeins, and also maybe to the point of having them hand spun. My goal is to get I only have two sheep, so my goal is to get a few batches of shearing saved up so that then I can have them sent to a mill to be processed. But right now, I just know very little about them. So I also want to learn more about judging the quality of a fleece and just getting my hands on as many different types of breeds as I can. And I've been very blessed to find a local lady that I approached through Facebook who has an organic flock of Shetlands and Romneys. And she also has experience judging fleeces. And she was just awesome in offering a mentorship of sorts to me and has invited me over to look at all the different breeds of fleeces that she has from her judging and hand spinning and whatnot. So I'm really excited about that and just looking forward to plowing ahead and hoping to have some lambs in the spring and learning that aspect of it as well. So hope you all have a happy new year.
The winner of last week's giveaway is Jennifer. You've won a 2-year subscription to Taproot Magazine. Congratulations. This week's giveaway is sponsored by Kismet Fiberworks, and they're giving away a skein of their Premier Kashgora yarn. To enter this giveaway, leave a comment on today's episode's blog post at woolful.com. The biggest of thanks to everyone involved in this week's episode: Jamie, Amber, Lori, Angie, Stephanie, Sonia, Christy, Amy, Beatrice, Maria, and Barbara. I hope you'll join me each week as we talk and learn from more fascinating fiber folk. For podcast notes and transcription, visit woolful.com. If you're interested in being a part of this podcast, including our Man on the Street or Farm Yard Tales segment, or as an episode or giveaway sponsor, shoot me an email at hello@woolful.com. Have a wonderful week.